Blog Talk Radio.
Turn me up in my headphones.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you want to end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't can wait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yeah! Yo, Jimmy, turn me up in my headphones and Google chat me. It's week 3 in the month of May, 2012, and your boys are back in the building. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you, of course, by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and sitting at the round table with me, as usual, is my band of brothers, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Paul Johnson, and Akil Bayon. We got a great show for you today. We'll dive back into the NFL health issues, flopping in the NBA, the NBA playoffs, and a whole lot more. Of course, we want to hear from you guys, so join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call into the show and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Quick shout out to our radio family. Be sure to check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. Check out Brandon and Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time at ueradiolive.com. We'd like to give an extra special shout-out to everyone listening on our new network, New Vibe Radio. That's newvibradio.com, new spelled N-U. We hope you guys are in the war room with us every week, and we hope to grow that you grow to love the show just like we love to do the show for you. So thanks to the staff at New Vibe Radio. We're excited to be a part of the family, and we look forward to doing big things with you guys. But right now, we got some big things to do behind these microphones. It's time to see who's having a birthday.
My birthday, yay!
Fellas, y'all ready to do this evening?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Ah,
yo, we clutch.
First by me. He said we clutch. All right, birthdays, of course, are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. That's at 9221 Oxon Hill Road, Fort Washington, Maryland. That number is 301-839-4472. You call there, you ask for Lisa, you make an appointment, and you get your hair done. All right, so the first birthday tonight we have is one Matthew Thomas, better known to you people as Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan turns 27 today. Jimmy, when I say Matt Ryan, what do you think about?
Well, you know, Matt Ryan is a local guy, so I don't want to give him too much slander. But with that being said, he's kind of, I don't want to even say underachiever. He's played well. It's hard to go either, like, you know, left or right when it comes to Matt Ryan. I don't know whether he's an elite quarterback in the league right now or whether he's overrated. My mind's not made up yet. I mean, he has a chance to beat one of the better quarterbacks. But with that being said, he has to get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel where you're coming from because I'm not, you know, of course, I'm going to give it more time before I give it its final judgment. But where they put, you know, where they say Matt Ryan is now and where I see him, And I say that because sometimes, you know, when you hear NFL analysts talk, they already act like Matt Ryan's an elite quarterback. He had a great rookie year, you know, by rookie standards. Well, great by rookie standards is changed now because of what Cam Newton did last year. But he had a pretty good rookie year, and I don't think he's improved all that much since.
The sheeple think he's elite. It's like from game to game. Like, he'll have one game, and you say, okay, he's turned the corner. Then I'll have, like, another game, and you'd be like, yo, what is wrong with this dude? So,
I don't think he's earned that nickname either, Matty Ice. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Matty Ice?
Well, excuse me, first, listeners, as I swallow the cereal. Matty Ice, I support him. I think I'm a little biased. As you all mentioned, he's a product of Philadelphia, so I support that. I really think that at his age, it's going to be at least another three seasons for me before I'm able to determine where he'll really end up.
Three seasons? That's a lot of time. He's already, you know, a good amount of time in the league. You don't give him another three? I don't know. If he's not elite by, like, the end of next season, I'm just going to keep slandering him. Kill. Matty Ice.
Okay, so it's Matt Ryan. He's obviously a product of the area. Pretty good quarterback. I think he shocked everybody his rookie year when he led them to 11 wins and 61% completion, and this is on the heels of Michael Vick, so he had a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Maybe that's why they called him Matty Ice, because he had big shoes to fill, and he's been getting them to the playoffs. I have an interesting stat. His career QB rating so far is 88.4. And I'm not even trying to make a joke, but I was just curious as to see how his overall QB rating compared to one Donovan McNabb. And Donovan McNabb's career rating is 85.6. So, I mean, it's only been four seasons, but is it safe to say that Matt Ryan is better than McNabb?
You know you're not going to get any fight from anybody on this
panel. I'd rather not respond to that.
I still had a quick question for you. You said, you know, he had big shoes to fill, but you know, what did Mike Vick really do in Atlanta besides sell tickets and jerseys?
Good point.
He was better
than
Mike Vick his rookie year.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be a lot of people that don't like me saying that, and they're turning their nose up at the computer right now, but was he not?
That is true. As a rating, Vick never eclipsed or even came close to the QB rating that Matt Ryan had. He's just at 800
well,
yard rusher.
Is it fair because Mike Vick played the QB position in a different way? He wasn't
Who
a pocket.
True.
Who fault is that?
But he
anyway,
beat Green Bay. He
one.
Beat Green Bay. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, he did do. He did more as an Atlanta quarterback than Matt Ryan. Forget the numbers. I mean, anyway, let's just go ahead.
Not really. How many times have they been to the playoffs under Matt Ryan? How many times did they go to the playoffs under Mike Vick?
How many playoff wins do they have under Mike Vick versus Matt Ryan?
They went to the playoffs twice under Mike Vick.
Well, I mean, he has more wins under less opportunities.
I don't know. You got to look that up, Jim. I don't really think that's.
How many playoff games did Matt Ryan won?
Now, that's a good question.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I think it's like negative two.
Yeah, that may set him back as far as accomplishments.
He owed him two wins.
Yeah, that might set him back as far as accomplishments. And Mike Vick has two wins as a playoff quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has more wins and the less opportunity. So, you know, not that I'm supporting Mike Vick and saying he's a great quarterback in Atlanta. It's just that it just shows just how Matty Ice comes up small, you know, in the big moments. But let's move on.
Told you he was overrated. next birthday is one Mr. Channing Thomas Frye. Channing Frye turns 29.
My birthday, yay!
Akil, what do you think of? You think of Channing Frye?
I think of a power forward out of Indiana. I mean, not Indiana, out of Arizona, who was supposed to be like, you know,
you,
I guess
you think
one
of
the
a
next
power
forward.
Forward.
Hold on,
about that forward.
So, like, all of a sudden, he's this dude that just shoots threes all day, like Matt Bullard. I'm like, he's supposed to be, like, not the next Tim Duncan, but, you know, something similar. Maybe a poor man's Duncan. Now he just shoots threes all day.
Man, he never comes inside the three-point line. Watching the Suns and watching Channing Frye play, it irks me. Like, you know how everybody say, man, if I was that big. But he just seems like a waste of height to me. He's just out there launching threes, and it's different because – like you said, it was all of a sudden. That was never his game before. Of course, he could step out and shoot the jump shot. It was a strength of his, but it was only a strength because, you know, in college, he could get down in the low post. Now he doesn't even try to get down in the low post, so shooting is not a strength. I think it's a weakness because he relies on it so much that it makes his game basically, ineffective.
He can't bang bodies down low, pause everything I just said, but it's like his jump shot is kind of water. But he don't even, like you said, he doesn't even come inside of 3-point line, and a lot of that is because, like, yo, dude need a stake or something. He's kind of frail. But I do remember him coming in the league. He was, like, the eighth or ninth pick of the draft, and he was a senior. And at the time he came in, that was unheard of. It was unheard of for a senior to still be in a draft.
Remember Isaiah Thomas picked him? And he said, man, even if he had, like, the first pick, he would have still taken Channing Fry.
Shout out to my man Zeke.
Austin, real quick, what you got on Channing Fry? Nothing much.
All right.
Well, the next birthday is one Mr. William Anthony, better known as Tony Parker. He turns 30 today.
First birthday, yay!
Jimmy, who you think of Tony Parker?
The Frenchman. Tony Parker has actually become the best player on his team. You can't help but think of the big three over there in San Antonio and Pop and the run they've had, and how Tony Parker, you know, has become pretty much their best player at this point. And with that being said, did y'all see Duncan the other night? Though, I have a little hot tub flashback real quick. Hot tub time machine flashback.
Yo, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. We'll talk about KG a little bit later. But
yeah, my fault. I'm not that great.
No.
Tony Parker has become their go-to guy. But it is weird to see him the other day, Tim Duncan, look at Blake Griffin and say, you know what, you're our guy, but give me the rock.
No doubt. And Tony Parker is like, he's 30. People, forget, because when they call that team old, sometimes you do have to explain to people, okay, they have some old, the nucleus, Tim Duncan, Manu. Tony Parker is not really old. He came into the league when he was really young. And at 30, he still is.
In playground in France, when he was like 16,
At 30, he's still as quick as any other guard in the league. So, Tony Parker, besides, being quick and emerging as the Spurs, probably one of, their best player, at this point, you got to think about his work, even though it's his ex work, Eva Longoria. Shout out to Tony for that. Bam, what do you think of? Tony Parker?
She can still get the man icing.
Yo, I'm wondering how true it is that he was messing around with Brent Barry's wife or / ex-wife. That was the rumor. It was like, remember when him and Eva Longoria broke up? It was
rumor that
he was sleeping with Brent Barry's wife, and I was oh, snap, that kind of messed
up. I was mixing that up with the Barbosa Steve Nash rumors.
Yeah, that too.
That's how they get down in the Western Conference.
Shaq and Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah.
John.
Oh.
Tony Parker, Austin. Tony Parker.
Underlay, mommy. EI. Oh! He gets out of there quick.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. No doubt. All right, so our last birthday is one Mr. Ray Charles Leonard, a.k.a. Sugar Ray Leonard. He turned 56 today.
Happy birthday. Yay!
Austin, what do you think of Sugar Ray Leonard?
Overrated.
Damn.
Whoa!
why is Sugar overrated?
Damn, fam!
Yo, he was highly skilled.
And his real name, Ray Leonard, he didn't like Ray Robinson.
He had the ability to steal rounds with a flurry of powerless punches at the end of rounds. He was light and quick. But,
he did that in one fight. He was basing his whole career off that.
Yeah,
if you think about it, that's what you call being an intelligent boxer, man.
It worked. This is my man Sugar. I think Sugar is a great boxer. I mean, he should be considered one of the greatest boxers of all time. I mean, he was one of those guys back then, nobody really ducked wreck. So he fought the best that was out there, Hearns, Hagler. He won titles in five divisions. And as far as the money goes, Sugar Ray Leonard was the first boxer in history to earn $100 million in purses. Mayweather do that like two or three fights now. But back then, Sugar was getting that money. He was Sugar
Money. He knocked out Floyd Mayweather Sr.
He was Sugar Money Ray Leonard back then. Money King.
He fought Roberto Duran a couple times. Like, come on, you can't call this man overrated. He is one of the best pound for pound boxers to ever live. I would never call a man overrated. When you look at the fighters he fought, from Camacho to Terry Norris, Roberto Duran like three or four times, Marvin Hagler, he knocked out Floyd Mayweather Sr. I mean, come on, man.
Jimmy put that on his resume like that means something.
What's that?
Floyd Mayweather Sr.
Hey, look, man, that's because he got
you
a
heard
name,
Floyd
man.
When they fought? You heard Floyd when they fought? He said, man, you can't fight.
Yeah.
Remember they were arguing in the gym? Like, man, you can't fight.
Yo, Floyd Sr. was like 28-5, something like that. But, you know, Sugar Ray knocked him out, bro.
You know, Ray Leonard kind of sensitive. I'm going to get that message to him. You might call B. Austin out for a rumble.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that.
Hey, real quick. Hey, Austin, he actually last time I saw Sugar Ray Leonard for the first and last time up at Bowie Sport Fit in the gym. I think he was training somebody because it's a guy that plays ball in there that boxes, and they're like, you know, he knows his pop or whatever. I was like, oh, snap. I was like, yeah, my pop's a big fan. You know, I'm a big fan, shook his hand. He's much smaller than you all would think. But another thing about him, he beat Roberto Duran with a broken orbital bone and detached retina and still kicked Duran's
Come on, man, you can't call.
He still made him quit, coward. All right, but that's the birthdays for the day. But we one last birthday shout-out. We want to definitely shout-out, you know, our homie, one of War Room Sports' main bloggers, Mr. Leroy McConnell III. It's his birthday today. So shout out to Leroy McConnell III. I see he's not
shout
in the
out,
chat
homie.
Room today, so he must be out there living it up. So have a happy birthday. And
Leroy
birthday for today. And Jimmy's going to tell everybody what happened this week while y'all were on the grind.
No doubt. Sorry, everybody. I'm a little slow, you know, looking at my line because I'm still upset he called Sugar Ray Leonard overrated. Come on, man. You are bugging. At any rate, while you are on the grind, this is brought to you by Philadelphia Auto Design. You can visit their website at phillyautodesign.com, and y'all need to get y'all wheels looking right for the summertime. Or you can go to warriorsports.com and click on their logo right in our homepage. First story I want to talk about is Usain Bolt. He bolts from his girlfriend to concentrate on the upcoming Olympics. What do you guys think about leaving her, you know, kicking it to the curb, to, you know, for your job and profession? What do you guys think about that?
First of all, I think his representatives are lying about the reason that he really left. From what I hear, he's been getting a lot of flack in his home country of Jamaica because his girlfriend just happens to be of European descent. She's actually a Slovakian fashion designer. So, you know, he's walking around Jamaica with a snow bunny, and the people of Jamaica don't really take too kindly to it. So, you know, he's definitely been getting a lot of flack for that, and I think that's probably the real reason that he's letting her go. But this story kind of lets her off easy instead of, you know, making her think, well, you're a punk because you're letting people, you know, decide our fate for us. But that's just my speculation.
Look, man, if you love the bunnies, then you love the bunnies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, man,
at the end of the day, I guess like a lot of guys have been in situations in their life and they're looking for an excuse. And what better excuse than he has other than I'm in the Olympics? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Olympics
you
coming
respect
up.
That.
No
nookie
before the Olympics.
Some of y'all listening know y'all done gave some worse excuses than that, so y'all can, you know.
After I saw what Patra could do in a video, I don't understand why he's not giving his country women a chance.
Oh, God, you crazy.
Yeah, man, so, I mean, that's what's going on with that story there. Doc Beck.
Yeah, I think, it's quite interesting. I need to focus on the Olympics, so I'm going to get rid of my girlfriend. I think I agree with
If you want to share with the people in your former life, what was one of the worst excuses you ever gave to get away from a young lady?
I'm transferring schools.
Yo,
he was though. He was transferring. Bayon didn't give excuses, man. We didn't give excuses, and we didn't spend unnecessary money, man. That's how it went.
I didn't spend unnecessary money, but I have, like, you know, given them a couple lies in my day, you know what I mean? Like, yo, I told them I was on the run, so I couldn't be, like, seen out, and, you know what I mean? Like,
I was on the run, yo, it's you, Nino. I'm on the run, G. They can never go back to the way it was.
Anyway, man, let's move on, man. Let's talk about a feel-good story, because we always slander athletes when they do something stupid. But Ryan Howard donated $1.2 million to sports equipment to Philadelphia schools. What makes this unique is that he specified this go to public schools. And, you know, the public school system is struggling all across the country in every major city, so this was well needed. And, you know, shout out to Ryan Howard for this, because we never give athletes credit when they do good things in the community.
You're right, Jimmy, because this was actually a story that nobody even heard about. I mean, where you found the story, like what sports fan is going to find a story on that website? You know what I'm saying?
I was looking at a nonprofit thing and found it. I'm like, damn, it's like, it's funny, because if he would have done anything wrong, that would have been front page news.
Yeah, and, you know, with us all being from Philadelphia, we can assure you listeners that the Philadelphia public school system definitely needed this equipment. And like Jimmy said, it was $1.2 million in Adidas sportswear, and he gave that to the athletic programs of 57 high schools and 4 middle schools in Philadelphia. So shout out to Ryan Howard for that, man. Salute. Good deal.
Yeah, no doubt. Doc Bay, you're big in education. You are, a doctor. So what was your thoughts when you heard the story?
Yo, I was like, man, why am I not hearing about this, you know, all over the web or CNN or Twitter? Or, I mean, that's a big thing, especially with some of the conditions of the Philadelphia school system and being ranked in the bottom, like, 20% in the nation in terms of effectiveness and graduation rates. So, you know, shout out to Ryan Howard. And, you know, yeah, things like this should be upheld. But, like, I bet you if he was on steroids, or I bet if he smacked his girl, that would be, you know, major news.
Yeah.
Yo, my man Usain Bolt, who he made the front page for, like, basically leaving his girlfriend, though. My man Ryan
exactly.
Howard gave up $1.2 million and couldn't get any pub. Man, that's crazy, man.
Little rinky-dink
anyway,
financial.
We show him love in the war room. And by the way, real quick, be Austin, Chip Swan, who's on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/war room sports, he said Roberto Duran would definitely disagree with you calling Sugar Ray Leonard overrated. So I just wanted to, you know, put it out there.
Roberto,
but,
no mas.
Yeah.
No mas.
Hey, tell Chip Swan that if he wants to organize it, I'll go to Sport Fit.
Rank Top 5 said you literally should be locked up for that comment, man. You deserve a decent time for disrespecting Sugar Ray Leonard like that, man. Because he's an all-time legend, man. Anyway, let's move on.
Line up, train for a couple fights. I got you. I train you.
Let's move on.
Zip everybody up. We zip it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't duck it like Floyd.
Oh, God.
Oh, here you go. I'm not even going to comment on that. I'm going to leave that alone. Let's move on. A Texas middle schooler was threatened with suspension for cutting an image of Matt Bonner in his head. That's right. I said Matt Bonner.
You talking about first forward Matt Bonner?
Matt Bonner. Matt Bonner averages like 1 point a game. But, yo, Matt Bonner is a fan favorite in San Antonio. But what do you guys think about the school threatening to suspend him for cutting, you know, his hero into his hair?
Wait a minute. First of all, if you haven't seen the picture, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/war room sports. Because I got a couple of things, Jimmy, before we even get to the school system and the way they're acting over this. One, dude need to go ahead and step his heroes up a little bit. Two, his barber has what we like to call in Philly, hand. His barber has mad hand. Did y'all see it looked just like Matt Bonner. It also
he definitely
Chuck Norris. It had a little Chuck Norris thing going on too. But his barber is the truth. And, you know,
that's what I have to say before
I even get into the school system. But I think the school system or the school, I think they're acting a little, you know, petty with this. I mean, I guess they're saying it's a distraction, and if you let one person do it, then, you know, it's going to get to a point where everybody's doing something, and it's causing a lot of attention. You know, it might even cause
a fight. Come on, man. Yo, that bothers me, man. First off, they should be suspending some of these kids with some of these horrible haircuts they come to school with. I'm talking about people who don't have anything drawn on their hair. Their hairline is all jacked up. Come on, man. FOH.
Yeah, but I think it's a very minute offense in the bigger scheme of things, because the dude could be coming to school with knives in his bag, guns in his bag, You know, he got a weak basketball player cut into the back of his head. I think that's his prerogative. But what they said, though, they threatened if he didn't cut it out of his hair by today, they were going to give him an in-house suspension. You know, that's I'd rather have a regular suspension because at least you don't have to come to school.
Cats literally have come to a school and laid the whole school down. Yet you want to call my man having Matt Bynum. By the way, Matt Bynum wasn't academic All-American. He actually is more accomplished in an academic standpoint than he is from a sports standpoint.
Yeah.
So
I guess his role models ain't that bad.
Austin and Doc Bay, y'all got anything to say about this?
I celebrate the young man for celebrating academic an All-American academic.
if that was even his mind state.
Yeah, I think because, I mean, with the kid being Anglo-Saxon male and him having red hair, similar to Matt Bynum, he figured he could identify with him. And he's probably the only person on the Spurs, and he lives in Texas, that he could identify with. So, yo, shout out to the barber for the hands, and shout out to the kid for the interesting idea, even though his role model is pretty low on the Richter scale.
I guess they prefer him to idolize Steven Jackson.
Jackson.
From Port Arthur, Texas.
Magnificent. Magnificent.
Yo, man, yeah, that's ridiculous, man. Anyway, let's move on to the next story. Yo, I can't believe this, man. Some of these stories are just hilarious. Anyway, this story is about Tim Tebow. His attorney sent a cease and desist letter to Cubby T's for his Jesus theme. They had a Jesus-themed Jets T-shirt. It actually said Jesus across the T-shirt with the Jets logo behind it. And Tim Tebow didn't think this was too funny, so his attorney tried to get him to stop selling these shirts.
This is another photo that we have on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WarRoomSports. And as Jimmy just explained, the T-shirt, usually says NY with Jets over it. So instead of NY, it has MY, and it says Jesus. And where they have the football, they have the little Jesus fish as the football. So this is my question to you guys.
What is the Jesus
fish? How can they try to cease and desist? It doesn't have Tim Tebow's name anywhere. Granted, we know who they're, you know, kind of poking fun at by doing this, but there's no proof whatsoever that this shirt has anything to do with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is not the only person on the Jets who believes in Jesus. So I think they need to cease and desist with their cease and desist request.
What you're saying, I guess, Dev, is that they're being presumptuous in assuming that whenever Jesus is referenced, it's Tebow.
Exactly, which is, you know, I mean, come on, nobody's stupid. We all know why they made the shirt. But there's no way to prove that in a court of law. So to try to, you know, get them to stop making a shirt that's probably going to, you know, get them a lot of money, I think they're fighting a losing battle here.
Hey, yeah. I think it's great marketing by the company that made that, because as soon as I look at it, I'm thinking, oh, wow, Jets, Tim Tebow, Jesus, church, like, just like that without his name even being there.
You know what, though, Kel? Tebow could be in on this because I didn't hear anything about the shirt until the story about the cease and desist came out. That might have been their marketing ploy. Now they're going to get money.
Hey, you know what? And Tebow, hey, I wonder, is that Christian-like to cease and desist something that's promoting the gospel?
I didn't even think about it that way.
Ooh.
Yo, I didn't even think about it that way.
Stop it, Tim
Tebow.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, shout out to him, y'all. Now, let's talk about y'all man, Johnny Jolly. You know, Packer Johnny Jolly. He was given shock probation. He's been given 10 years of shock probation by a judge after 6 months ago when he was sentenced. Did you guys hear about this story?
Yeah. Y'all want me to tell the audience what shock probation is, man?
Yeah, tell them what shock probation is.
I'm going to tell the
audience
what shock probation
right now.
Because I'm going to tell y'all what Johnny Jolly, the two-time drug offender, has gotten as a punishment. Basically, he was serving, that's his suspension from the NFL, but he faced charges in Houston after a July arrest in 2008 for possession of at least 200 grams of codeine. Now, he was charged last year with possession of a compound containing codeine on a traffic stop in Houston. So he was placed on probation for violating his probation, but eventually he was sentenced to 6 years in prison. But what shock probation is, he requested this and the judge granted it. What it is, it allows convicts to ask to be released early on probation after experiencing the shock or trauma of being in jail. Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have shock probation? Because after I go to jail and I'm shocked and I'm traumatized, I'm going to ask you if I can get out. Come on, man. Really? I'm sure everybody who goes to jail is shocked and traumatized, but if you're not an athlete and you don't have money to get around the system like this, they're not giving you no shock probation. Who voted this into law?
I have no comment on this, man. This is just a funny story, man. Our criminal
what kind of tea party law? Like, come on, man.
Our criminal justice system is a joke, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, free Sean Payton, though. But go ahead, though. Anybody else got to say anything to say about this?
Nah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Free Roscoe P. Colchin.
Free Lil Boosie.
Yo, this is one of them. This is one of those situations where it's like you can't even. What can you possibly say to this? Like, what's the credibility of the American justice system? Free Cool C.
Yeah, let's move on though, yo. Players have actually started to walk away from football over health concerns. No one saw this coming. Ohio State linebacker Andrew Sweat, he chose to go to law school over the NFL. And what I found interesting about this story is some of the actual NFL analysts were calling him crazy and saying that, you know, it's hard to get a job out there. But his father, like, owns a flourishing law practice, so I don't think we'll have trouble getting a job. But he said, who wants to suffer concussions later in, I mean, have concussions and suffer later on in life? Also, offensive lineman Jacob Bell, he walked away from the NFL rather than sacrifice his health. In his words, he said he just doesn't want to sacrifice his health.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this new trend?
Jacob Bell even said that he's going to raise awareness. He said, one, he thinks they should make concussion awareness part of the rookie symposium. I'm pretty sure that they're going to do that now. He said they should have players begin their careers with a brain scan, and then he said they should involve psychologists heavily in the education, you know, of these brain injuries so athletes won't be so quick to dismiss them just to get back on the field. That's for the guy Jacob. The other guy, you know, choosing law school over going to the league, It's a big deal now, man, this whole health thing, because it's in the news. It's in sports news 24/7. Roger Goodell is messing with it, and even later on we're going to talk some more about it, about Chad Ochocinco's letter to the commissioner regarding this. It's a big deal.
I respect,
and there's some people out there taking it seriously.
I respect his decision, and being, again, this is a little presumptuous on my part, but I would assume, based on his background, he understands the economics of his career choice. So if you figure if he's willing to apply himself, really work for that JD, step into his father's firm, you know, billable hours, he may be able to get $500 an hour coming off the break because he's daddy's little boy. He could turn a nice wage and be healthy in the mid, you know, six figures versus being a low draft pick on an NFL team, making, you know, maybe league minimum, maybe a little more than league minimum after taxes. I mean, it's just not worth it to him. I feel where he's coming from.
Plus, he
could
flip
that argument,
and he could flip his football connections and possibly get bigger money by representing football players as either a lawyer or an agent.
Representing football players who suffer from head trauma.
Well, they probably ain't got no money.
Yo, the way Roger Goodell is legislating the league, I mean, in the next 7 years, it'll be flag anyway. So maybe you can come back once they take the pads and the hitting away.
Yeah,
it's funny because when you see some of these guys play after the, I mean, see some of these guys after their career is over, you really do wonder, is it all worth it?
And yo, that's just funny because what Jimmy just said, I was thinking about the same, you know, something along the same lines. Like, the more we talk about this topic, the more, I mean, I like football in its purest form. I don't like football going the way of the softy, but as a commissioner, you can kind of start to understand why he's legislating the game the way he is. I mean, it's getting to a point where he's responsible for people's life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has to kind of save some of these guys from themselves. So
right,
he has
yeah.
to look like the bad guy. You know, and breaking news, LeSean McCoy, running back from the Eagles, agreed to a 5-year contract extension today. So you got Shady in the mix for another few years.
Guess who's
so, yeah.
back?
Hey, why did D-Jack told him, he said, don't handle your situation like I handled my situation.
So he knew he was wrong, huh?
Yeah.
Did anybody have anything else about the safety? Because I got one quick story before we move on.
I just think, you know, God bless him. He may be setting an example. And if you talk to older players, even though they're seeing the error of their ways, it's kind of like when you are that invested in NFL and in football at the professional level, you have to be saved from yourself because that's all you know.
Yeah. That's what's up. real quick, I heard about this in the car today, so I just wanted to tell y'all real quick. There's a guy who writes for the Jaguars down in Florida, old head, Vito Stellino. He tweeted a story yesterday because he's involved in the rebirth of the USFL. I don't know if y'all heard that the USFL is coming back. So he did a story.
Wow.
Well, he tweeted a story supposedly by Jim Steig on the rebirth of the USFL. And the link that he tweeted was to a pornographic website. Now, this was sitting on Twitter for like 45 minutes before he even caught wind of what he had put up there. Of course, he said, my computer has a virus and it was a mistake. My speculation is this is one of the windows he had open while he was doing this. He copy and pasted the wrong URL. He tweeted it, and now everybody on Twitter knows this dude is a pervert. That's just my speculation. I don't know the dude. So, you know.
Hold on, hold on. I take offense. Just because you watch porno doesn't mean you're a pervert.
Yeah, I'm offended. I'm behind you, Joe.
When y'all see a picture of Vito and you see how old he is, you're going
to
change your mind about it.
So
he looks
like
Hubie Brown.
Old age?
Imagine Hubie Brown tweeting out porno sites.
Like, yo, shout out to Maria. Shout out to Maria Love, yo. Cut the check.
Yeah, and Jada Fire. Yo, but what I'm saying is like, hopefully at that age, I still have that interest. You know what I mean? Like, shout out to him for, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm that age, I'm going to be half. I have my own bunnies. I ain't going to have to be all on the website.
I mean, you know, let's leave this alone before we, you know,
right.
go into a whole nother direction. You know what I mean? Shout out to Jada Fire, though. Anyway, Sev, tell everybody how to get in touch with you,
yo. All right. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about the company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. We have several packages, and you can even customize your own package to fit the budgetary needs of your own company. Make sure you keep that in mind. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Fair in Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Make sure you watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak to us directly, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so go ahead and raise your hand, and one of the teachers might just call on you. Now, let's get into some hot topics real quick. But before we do that, we have to let you know that hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting anything else you want to do done at the very same time. Now. Yeah. But, all right, let's get into some hot topics real quick.
Real quick, man. When you,
okay.
Before you say that, when you sign up to audibletrial.com/warroomsports, make sure you use the offer code the War Room. And the reason you want to do that, I'm sorry, that's not even audible.
My
but
bad. I'll put that. I'll make
sure. audibletrial.com/warroomsports. But here's something I want everybody to know. It's the new bestseller that everybody's like reading. You can actually get on Audible, the 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm listening to that now, and, yo, that joint is more graphic than Booty Talk 53. So for you young ladies out there that want to, like, you know, read 50 Shades of Grey, you can get it right at Audible, audibletrial.com/warroomsports.
My wife is in the midst of that book right now, per
yo,
year.
Everybody I know is reading that book. That's the reason I brought it up, because you can actually get it on Audible, and, like, when you travel around.
Per year referral,
she's
in the midst of that book, so.
Yo, that book is pornographic. The boy from Jacksonville, he probably just had a picture of the book on his email.
Uh-huh. All right, so just quick boxing news. Our guest from last week, Ty Barnett, as you know from the interview, he had a big fight in D.C. last weekend. Ty Barnett won the fight. He had a seventh-round TKO over Robert. Don't lose to lose. Ty is now 22-1 with 13 KOs. Did you guys hear that Laurie Fine, the wife of Bernie Fine, the assistant coach at Syracuse with the, you know, the child molestation charges, she's planning to sue ESPN. Basically, she's suing them for libel because she said, you know, a lot of the reports that they had kind of messed up her name and they were false reports. And, well, I mean, what do you guys think about this whole thing?
I mean, I don't know what to think. No one knows what the truth is. But the one thing I can say is I saw his wife at her press conference, and she needs a shot at look up Lisa from Days of Beauty Hair Salon on 9321 Oxford Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Yo,
man.
And she can call Lisa at 301-839-4472 because her hair was a wreck. Her hair was so crazy that I couldn't even pay attention to what she was saying at the press conference. It was, like, wild and crazy. So, you know,
Yo, there's rumors that Bernie Fine's wife doesn't have a gag reflex.
Yo.
I'm just saying.
But I
have no comment on that, Joe.
I didn't even explain to the listeners what she said they did. She's basically saying that ESPN falsely portrayed her as having knowledge of the abuse by her husband. Now, this is what puzzles me, because she's going to sue ESPN for libel. Deadspin was the website who came out with a different twist of the story about Laurie Fine. And Deadspin reported back then that she had sex with a lot of the recruits and players from Syracuse. Now, I'm wondering, unless it comes up in the next few days, why isn't she suing Deadspin for libel? Or
maybe they told
her it's true. That's what I'm about to say,
true.
Or is it true?
I just said there's no reflex.
Yo, plus I'm talking like, you know, from experience. Plus she wants some of that Mickey Mouse money, man. She wants that Disney stuff.
Austin, they get recruited by Syracuse.
Let me find out, yo.
I forgot about that visit. Oh, man. Tell me about that later. But, yeah, so that's her story. Now, you guys remember when Ryan Braun got busted for steroids, National League MVP, his suspension got overturned, and we were so shocked. Now, the arbitrator who overturned his suspension was recently fired by Major League Baseball. Now, what do you guys think about that? I mean, they're not necessarily saying that it had anything to do with that case, but to me it looks like one of those things, you know, because they never lose. They finally got a case to go another way, and then they fired an arbitrator. So does it seem a little fishy to you guys?
Yo, that's definitely, because that shows there was a chink in the armor and there was some incompetency from that department, because for a guy to be found guilty, will test positive, but still get off, I mean, that's monumental.
Yeah, because, you know, we talk about it enough to know the rules. Anytime you're popped with a banned substance, there's always two samples. Once the A sample tests positive, of course you got the B sample, which could either, you know, nail your coffin or get you off the hook. And remember the whole Ryan Braun story, the way he got off, it was never really said adamantly that he didn't take anything. He got off on kind of a technicality because of the way he felt that the tester held his sample over the weekend. And, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff, a little loophole stuff that kind of got him off the hook. And I guess MLB really didn't like, you know, the fact that they let him off. I mean, this same guy, he has another job now. I think he's going to arbitrate some things in the Bounty Gate case in the NFL. So, I mean, he's gotten a job fairly quickly, so he must be kind of good at what he does. But baseball wasn't trying to hear that. His name is Shyam Das.
Hero?
He's been
an
arbitrator in the MLB
for
13 years. What'd you say?
Said, is it possible his nationality was conflicting? Never mind. I don't know.
He's been an arbitrator for 13 years, so I don't know. But yeah, they got some new stuff. So the new arbitrator who's coming in, he has some stuff on his plate already, because there's a grievance hearing coming up about a 100-game suspension issued to the Giants reliever Guillermo Molta. So. We'll see if this. I mean, I'm thinking, because the first guy got fired, I don't think this guy's gonna dare go against baseball unless he just really doesn't, you know, unless his job doesn't mean too much to him. But that's a crazy story, and it shows you what happens when you go against the powers that be. Your boy Ocho Cinco, he wrote a letter to the commissioner getting back into this health thing. Did you guys read the letter? I have it here. It's not that long. I could speed read it if you guys want me to, if you haven't heard it.
Yeah, you can speed read it.
All right. And first of all, he said, many of you know I have a father-son relationship with Roger Goodell. So when he acknowledges him as dad, he wasn't really trying to be facetious. That's just how he's, you know, that's Chad being Chad. So the letter starts off, "Dear Dad, I know it's been a rough week, so I wanted to reach out. Players dying, players suing, and on top of that, my peers are just going off when you're in the media. Doesn't help that ESPN has all of a sudden become medical TV with damn near every brain expert on the planet. This has got to be the worst week ever. Since no one is showing any support, I figured I'd be the first. You are in one big-ass catch-22, quite frankly. I'm not sure if there's any solution. One thing I can help is killing the NFL PR machine. Y'all do a darn near perfect job of portraying this game as one played by heroes, but let's be real, Dad. This is a nasty, dirty, and violent game with consequences. Sign up or go get a regular job. Watch it or turn off the TV and go fishing with your kids. It is really that simple. I know there are probably legal and financial implications that prevent this blunt depiction, but I'm not sure if you have a choice. If you don't say it now, the mounting evidence being revealed publicly will say it for you very soon. In all, I love you, and if anyone can lead us out of this mess, it will be you. Oh, by the way, I have a deal for you. I'm having a rebound year and plan to do a lot of celebrating in the end zone. Can my fine money go to supporting ex-player suffering?" See, when you read that, though, it seems like, is he being completely serious or is he being sarcastic? But no news outlet took it as sarcasm. They were thinking that he's genuinely reaching out to the commissioner. They were saying Chad is taking the same stance as Roddy White took on Twitter last week, saying, "You sign up for it, you know what you're signing up for." What do you guys think about
it? There's a level of sincerity in what Chad is saying. I think he's just a funny bull, so it's kind of like he can't say anything, even if it's serious, without trying to get a laugh. Or getting a little bit of shock value out of it. But I do believe that at a certain level, he's sincere with what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you look at it that way, it does seem like it's sincere. I mean, you're right. When you think about Chad, he can't just write, especially a letter that's going to go public, he can't just write a letter and it not have you know, anything funny in it. So I see where you're coming from there.
And real quick, Dev, I just want to say for the people that didn't know we were talking about it in terms of Bernie Fine's wife, her picture is on our Facebook page now, with her hair looking all crazy. So again, shout out to our sponsor, Daisy Beauty Hair Salon. But in terms of Chad, Chad is a master at getting attention. He's done it again.
Oh,
yeah.
I just looked at that picture. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's like, you know, he's just being Chad, getting attention.
That's another way of looking at it. Dude has no relevance in terms of his play on the field, but he's still probably a top 20 receiver in terms of attention and media fanfare.
And top 20. How about top 5?
Higher than that. higher than that in that regard. But so you got to get into the end zone if you're going to celebrate. So, you know,
at this point, he's like an average
money
player. Like the most popular average player in the league.
Yeah. I mean, but besides that, do you guys give any merit to what he's saying? I mean, it's, like I said, it's kind of on the same lines that Roddy White was talking about. He's like, we got players dogging the game and suing the game now. But you know what football is when you sign up. I can't say that I disagree with them. You know, at the end, like we said, it's pretty scary when you see how
through this court proceedings is that the NFL knew more than they didn't give all the information, and no one knew it was as bad as it's starting to become. With a lot of the studies being done, no one knew it was this bad. So you can they didn't necessarily know what they were getting into, but what's coming out is the NFL knew what they were getting into because they had tests done previous to this. So
at the same time,
what do you do? What do you do about it? We joke about where the game is being legislated now, but in the end, it's still tackle football. You still got on helmets, you still got on pads, dudes are still getting hit. So even if they knew something, what exactly can they do about it?
Yo,
when you play football growing up, you know what football entails.
Listen, people think I'm crazy when I say this all the time, but if you look at the studies, there were less trauma, and there's a lot of reasons you can say there why there were less trauma, but when cats played with the leather helmets, there wasn't as much trauma. And the reason being is, real talk, because they didn't use their heads as weapons. When you put these helmets on, you know how it feels when you put a football uniform on. You feel like, yo, I'm about to go.
You feel like you need to hit something.
It was like cats never leveled. They tackled the right way with their shoulders because they weren't trying to put their heads in that kind of harm's way. So they just basically go backwards. Go pull the leather helmets out. Watch the cats go down.
Let everybody play with a new era cap on. But, I mean, you're right because think about it, you know, back in the day when we all played football and we put on the pads, back when you were young, your badge of honor for a game was having the paint from another player's, from the opposite team's helmet on your helmet.
Absolutely.
That's how you determined if you or your teammates were balling or not. I was out there hitting, look how much, you know, blue paint.
Your helmet is dry. You ain't doing nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
It's like
playing baseball and having a dirty uniform. Like, you ain't doing nothing, B. So,
Your bat got no dents in it because you struck out every time. Why your bat ain't got no dents, cuz?
Yo, shout out to Albert Pujols. But, I just feel like they may have to take a step backward in order to move forward because the game, like you're saying, what's going to happen to the game that we love? But something has happened.
I also think some of that is attributed to the size, speed, and athleticism today's player.
But you add that with the fact that cats
with the fact that these guys lead with their heads, and also the skill of tackling has vanished while the kill shot. Is what gets you on TV. So you've got 265-pound linebackers running 4.4s. You got 220-pound receivers. Everything is bigger. Everything's faster. Everything's more athletic. Combine that with leading with your head. So it's
man, just take all the pads off of them. Make them play like we played in elementary school, Jimmy, out in the parking lot.
Oh, man, we play tackle football.
Still playing
that. I probably got concussion symptoms right now.
Adam Schefter is reporting that NYC police will not bring charges against Bears wide receiver Brandon Marshall for a melee at the nightclub in March.
Oh, the one that we talked about back in March.
Yeah, back in March.
Oh, the one we speculated on. All right. Yeah,
that's the one we speculated.
That's cool because that's more advertising for us because Jimmy made a SoundCloud of that. So now we get to put that back out and say that after all of our speculation, he's innocent.
That's right. We are all over the internet.
Yes, sir. All right. This is bad news for Eagles fans, and we have several of those here on this show. Jason Peters, I laugh a little bit because the way it happened was kind of funny, but it ain't funny if you're a fan. Jason Peters re-injured the Achilles that he was currently rehabbing. Y'all know he ruptured his Achilles in March. Got the surgery. Mm-hmm. He was rehabbing. This is the story. He was riding around his house on the gadget that he's using to get around while he's rehabbing. It's called a rollabout. And the joint malfunctioned, causing him to flip over onto his face, re-rupturing his Achilles. So he's going to have to get another surgery on his Achilles because of his little rehab machine going haywire. Yo, that's crazy. Of course, he said he's going to sue the manufacturer, but that's bad news for Eagles fans. I mean, they picked up the guy Bell to replace him, but Jason Peters is a first-team All-Pro, you know, left tackle. And this past season, he was just coming into his own in an Eagles uniform. He was mauling cats all season. But an Achilles, two of them? Do y'all think he'll ever be the same? Let alone, you know, come back anytime soon, but will he ever be the same again?
It's crazy because he was playing so well that PJ actually apologized to him because he was definitely falling out of his mind last year.
Out of his
mind. And I hate to speculate on whether he'll ever get back to that form again, but of course I have to speculate because that's what we do. Right. I don't know if he'll ever be as explosive and powerful as he was because he definitely was playing at another level last year. But I just hope that the brother, you know, cuts them Stevie Wonder braids out his hair. That's all I really got to say about this, man. Come on, cut. Take the beat.
Funny how all subjects, Sports Center showing LeBron James' top 10 moments. Like, I guess they gotta build his rep back up for him. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But go ahead, Kill.
Yeah, I was gonna say being an offensive tackle, I would think it's easier to come back from two ruptured Achilles than it is for a basketball player because in basketball so much running and jumping. I mean, as an offensive lineman, you're pretty much in a box in terms of what you're doing, and you're backpedaling, and you have
stress. Yo, but Kill,
what he was
he
doing.
Wasn't, though.
Yeah,
that's the thing. He was downfield throwing people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But he doesn't
he
have to
not,
jump, but
I
should be okay. It's kind of like Elton Brand.
But you
got to
think about
right,
it,
you
know, the dude is like 350.
Yeah,
so it
true.
Might be a little more difficult for him because that's a lot of weight to put on a twice-ruptured Achilles. But
that's
I hope
true.
You're right because he was balling this year. Some more stuff came out of that. Like, you know, when it rains, it pours. Because Jason Peters and Terrell Suggs, Ball So Hard University, T-Sizzle, he also ruptured
Ball
him
So
again.
Hard University.
But these guys may not get paid because they're getting put on the list of what do you call it?
Non-football related activities.
Right. So because of that, these guys, you know, may not get paid. I mean, they're going to have to basically challenge this. The applicable wording in the CBA, which is Article 20, Section 3, a player who is placed on a non-football injury or illness list is not entitled to any compensation under this contract while on such list. Now, remember Terrell Suggs, he claims that he was working out, you know, doing some short shuttles, you know, some stuff like that. But the rumor that went around when the story was first reported about him is that he was playing basketball. So it seems like, you know, he's trying to do some damage control and say that, no, I was really doing some stuff to get in shape for the season. So we'll see where that plays out. And Jason Peters, I forgot what he was doing when he first injured his. Didn't he just fall in the house or something? Like, what was he doing?
Man, no one knows the real story of what happened.
He was somewhere playing loud music in front of the cops.
He's always Achilles crip walk, yeah.
All right, but that's crazy. Those dudes might not get paid, so you know you're messing with their money now. So we'll see where that goes. A war room favorite, Donovan McNabb. He lost 15 to 20 pounds, and he's on TV showing everybody footage of him with no shirt on throwing football around in the ocean. Throwing. He had no shirt on, throwing footballs around in the ocean with his male friend.
He was in the ocean.
He was on his Apollo Creed Rocky, like, you know, having fun on the beach with his male friend. But
yo! Shout out to my homie, ranked top five from the Chi-Town, because McNabb just continues to embarrass y'all.
Yo, he was cut months ago by the Minnesota Vikings, maybe like 6 months by this point, and he hasn't had a sniff. Remember when he first left there, everybody thought, oh, well, Chicago will take him because Cutler's hurt. Chicago didn't even sniff him. He didn't go to Houston. They rather, you know, take their chances with T.J. Yates.
They
now,
rather work out. They gave Jake Delhomme a workout.
Yeah, but they kept.
Yo, why is he taking the pictures, though? Oh, real quick, can I say one thing, though?
They were videos, man.
They were videos.
That's even worse. I got
one
thing to say.
He doesn't look like he's in shape. He look like me.
Yeah, man. Real quick, I got something I have to say to Donovan F. McNabb.
You should be
ashamed of yourself, Donovan. Come on, cuz. Cut it out.
Yo. I saw the exact same thing that you saw today, Dev, and I was just trying to figure out how to word it, how to bring it up. I'm gonna tell you what I think it was. If y'all recall, when T.O. went to Dallas and they were showing Hard Knocks, T.O. had a beach scene. And I just think that Donovan figured that he never had an opportunity to have his beach scene. So,
man.
He was in the ocean water with the water all over, glistening like
glistening.
like he was from Atlanta. Then he was doing all types of Trav Sham mockery.
But Austin, what is that? I mean, besides taking your shirt off, trying to show teams that you're in better shape, and if that's better shape, I, like, cringe at how he must have looked before. But that's besides the point. Like, what is the beach scene going to do for you getting a contract this year?
Because
like,
he's working out in sand. He's working out in sand so that he doesn't over-rotate when throwing the ball and work on his balance.
And the funny thing is, because you're being sarcastic, people really said that to me as a
no,
fan. But I'm like, why show it to them though? Just go in, you know. If you're in shape, you're in shape. When you go to somebody's camp, if you get invited to somebody's camp, you show and prove there. Like being on the beach,
you
smiling and tossing footballs with your friends. I don't know. And I guess doing it on the beach, you can't throw any ground balls because there's no ground. He was throwing the water, the rock skipping water.
He was disturbing the crabs that were buried in the sand.
My thing is, dude has always had access to some of the best trainers in the world, and he's a millionaire, multimillionaire. Like, I've never understood why he was always, you know, in the second half of his career,
in worse shape.
Yo,
yeah,
whose off-season workouts have we heard about in the history of the NFL more than Donovan McNabb's Arizona workouts? They're supposed to be so beastly, and, you know, he brings out receivers, and they do this and do that, and then he comes back every year in no better shape and with no better skill set. Like, I don't
get it. I'm going to tell y'all for our first-time listeners and those that don't really follow Eagle football, there's this thing that Donovan McNabb used to do. If he broke the pocket and he ran longer than 10 yards, the very next play invariably was an audible to a handoff to Westbrook. That wasn't the play that Andy called. But because he was so out of shape, he couldn't throw, so he had to hand off to get extra time to get back and get his breath back.
It was either audible or timeout. And the funny thing is, that was the only time he ever audible. He's the consummate robot. Andy Reid calls a play, he's running the play. But like you said, the only time he ever audible was to audible to a run play after he just ran for a few yards because he was so out of breath.
Yo.
New listeners probably like, man, what they got against Donovan McNabb? We are scoring Eagles fans. If you got a problem with it, call in 323-410-0012 and let us know what your problem is.
We can talk about it.
Tell us why we're wrong. Tell us why he good.
The man was on the beach with water glistening all over his body.
The point of this whole thing. The point of this whole thing.
I got to bring some up to y'all real quick. Rank top five. Who is a Chicago native? So I have to preface it by saying that. He said, do you think race has anything to do with McNabb not getting a shot? He said, even Kerry Collins got another shot.
Kerry Collins was a better quarterback.
Kerry Collins threw for 4,000 yards at least one season. McNabb still hasn't done it.
Twice. He did it twice.
Yo,
but look,
the whole point of this
was the fact that he's now saying he's available to all 32 teams in the league. Remember when he first got cut by Minnesota and Washington, that wasn't his sentiment. You know, he's still saying he wants to be a starter, which is, you know, at this point. But he said he's open to all 32 teams.
Yo,
so I guess he doesn't need to be a starter.
Work out with Gary Coleman, yo. He said McNabb needs to work out with Gary Coleman. That's why he's through the ground all the time, yo.
Yo, he needs to chill. He needs to quit while he's ahead before this happens.
You know what?
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is...
McNabb's problem is...
He's silly, man. He's already self-destructing. The thing is, when he made his couple of TV appearances on First Take, I thought as an analyst, you know, I thought he was pretty good, besides the fact that he was basically hating on any
scorned.
Quarterback. Any quarterback better than
he
him.
He was the scorned female.
Yeah, but as far as the job, I felt he did the job really good.
Yo,
so
absolutely, and that's just to be honest. He actually did a great job, and he looked like he fit right in.
Yeah,
he made his communication.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So his analyst skills were, you know, pretty accurate. You know, unlike his throwing skills. But
hey, I want to respond to.
But now it seems like he's begging. He seems like he's begging at this point. But go ahead.
He's begging. Yeah, he's definitely begging. I want to respond to rank top five. And we are all human beings on this show, human beings of African-American descent. So I'll preface what I'm about to say with that. Listen, you can't play the race card for African-American quarterbacks in today's NFL. Because if anything, after Donovan McNabb ruined everything in D.C., they went out and drafted RG3. It doesn't exist. There's no racism that African-American quarterbacks face in today's NFL.
It's all about the end result, the win, and nobody thinks they can win with this guy. But I also like to say that I usually like to join in on the race card. I like to play the race card because I think that it's a powerful weapon that they've given us the ability to use. So usually I like playing the race card, but yo, considering I am a member of the talented team, when it comes to Donovan F. McNabb, it's not possible to do. This guy just isn't good. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If he was able to win ball games, it wouldn't matter if he was purple. NFL is all about the end result. The guy
not
is
ball
not
games, because he's been on great teams that won ball games. If he was able to win, you know, the big
no,
ball games.
No, he's not that good anymore, though, Dad. He's not even that good
anymore. Oh,
you're
talking about now. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Man, I'm talking about right now, this minute. Nobody
likes
him, yo.
That dude had an
NFL game. He had an NFL game that he started in last year, and he went 7 for 15 for 35 yards in 4 quarters. Right top five, stop it.
Yo, just and shout out to my man Corey254Camp in the chat room. He says Donovan keeps screaming Hall of Fame. It's an FOH. There's no Hall of Better than Doug Peterson. All right, so once again, we wasted valuable minutes slandering Donovan McNabb.
Hey, Dev, real quick, I just wanted to say peace to the fans and listeners. I have to log off the line.
All right. We
have
out
the studio.
All right, take it easy, fellas. All right.
So Reggie Bush, fellas, he's come out and told the media that he wants to win the Russian title this coming season. Can he do it?
I mean, he should want to. I mean, all running backs should want to.
I'm not mad at him.
Why is he saying it, though?
Because he don't have a young man to get him attention anymore.
He's a corny bull, and he wants attention. Exactly what Jimmy just said. But I respect it. I respect it, and what I saw from him in Miami last year, I respect that as well. I respect the desire that he has to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's here.
He
has a chip on his shoulder.
I think Reggie Bush is good. But when we posted this on Facebook, like, he got all kinds of, like, venom thrown his way. Personally, you know, the knock on Reggie Bush is he's not an every down back. He won't even get enough carries to get the the Russian title. He wouldn't be able to hold up. But how do we know? Because he's never gotten
that
kind of a workload.
That bothers my existence. They say this about cats all the time. He's not an every down back.
Yeah.
But he's never been given an opportunity to be every down back.
Exactly.
So how would you know? You're based
exactly
on his size?
Exactly.
But I mean,
yo, Clinton Portis wasn't that big. He wasn't that big when Joe Gibbs ran him into the ground and gave him like damn near 300 carries in the season. So how do we know Reggie Bush can't, take the pounding? He's a pretty in shape guy. He seems like he works pretty hard. I'm not saying he can or will, but how are we just to knock it real quick and say, oh?
And not
he
only
can't
that,
Dan,
in today's NFL,
he's
going to
break a lot of long runs.
Get like 15 carries anyway. The NFL is so pass happy that an every down back only gets about 15 carries. There's no such thing as
the
old
season,
running back.
If he's going to do it, this is the season he needs to do it, since Miami still don't have a quarterback.
he's in a good position because Adrian Peterson's coming off a major injury. Arian Foster's not going to get feature back carries. He's in a dual back system. Jones
is three back. I mean, he's their back, but they had three backs this year because he got hurt.
Shady got his bread, and Andy Reid will not allow Shady McCoy to lead the league in rushing. So this is the year for him, and as you say, there's no QB in Miami. I respect the fact
I don't
that
think
I
Matt Moore is a bum, but, they're going to run the ball.
He has a chip on his shoulder. As if he believes all the attention he got at USC, he wants to prove that acclaim is deserved in the NFL. And I kind of respect that as motivation.
Hey, I respect it, too. I just don't know why he's talking about it publicly, for one. But I do respect the fact that he has those kind of lofty goals. He did rush for 1,100 yards last year. So if you give him carries like, a workhorse back, I'm pretty sure he'll be somewhere in that mix. I'm not saying that he's going to do it. I don't know if I even think he's going to do it. But I just don't understand why people were so negative about him, being able to do it. Not that he said it, because I don't know why he said it either. But they weren't negative about that. They were just saying, you can't do that.
Much like myself for a time, I think a lot of people treat Reggie like he's a bust.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Reggie Bush is a pretty good player. When given opportunities, he shines in those opportunities.
That just shows how great of a college player. He set the bar so high. It's like Herschel Walker. Like, we always talk about Herschel Walker. At the end of his career, his numbers are pretty respectable. But the bar was set so high. Reggie Bush was phenomenal in college. Like, this dude was like Superman out there playing.
All right, we got to speed it up a little bit because we got a few things left, and we got to talk about some NBA playoffs in a few. So
I'm playing McNabb for that.
Yeah, we're gonna move on to the Saints and this whole seat situation. But Jim, you want to scream real quick? But, you know, you got
no
the topic.
Doubt.
You know we'll be rapping about when
I
you get
you,
back.
I got you.
The Saints have decided to save. I mean, this is like a gesture to honor Sean Payton. They're gonna keep his seats empty on the team bus, the team plane, and in team meeting rooms. Austin, do you think that this is, like, necessary? I heard a lot of people saying this is, like, defiance to the commissioner. This is giving the commissioner one big middle finger. I don't understand that because Thor's middle finger, and for new listeners, Thor is one of our many nicknames for Roger Goodell because he does lay the
hammer. I just take the D-E-L off, man.
But I'm wondering, like, how people think this is a big middle finger to the league. Thor's middle finger was bigger than any of this because at the end of the day, Sean Payton won't be in those empty seats. Sean Payton won't be getting paid. And Sean Payton is on such a strict regimen that if he calls to wish somebody happy birthday, he has to do it on a speakerphone with New Orleans Saints, like their legal team present. So middle finger to the commissioner? Like, yeah, right.
I think that, you know, it depends on interpretation, perspective, and vantage point, of course, as anything does. I personally don't really care. I think it's something that should be internal, and because of today's media and the way everybody is a reporter and Twitter, I think it got out, and now people are making news out of something that shouldn't be news. What you should be paying attention to is the fact that Drew Brees is still not signed. That's bigger news to me. I think people are making.
I think this whole seat thing is just corny. I'm like, what else they gonna do for the dude? Like, before the coin toss, they gonna pour out a 40 for him every game. Like,
Roger Goodell made his life miserable, cause like, you know, he can't even eat red meat without getting permission.
Well, I'm gonna go to the phone lines because I see we got our man Jeff from Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Radio in Chicago. JT, what's going on, brother? You in the
war room? What's up, war room? How y'all doing, man?
Man,
what's good?
What's going on, homie?
JT,
you got tired of Jimmy slandering McNabb and linking him to your city, man?
Jimmy, he was killing us. He was killing him, man. Y'all was ripping my boy, man. I'm listening to him. I'm like, dang, I just thought McNabb was like an old Chicago Bear quarterback, Bob Avellini, we had back in the day, man. I mean,
yo, JT,
you know what?
JT, when I think of your city and I think of the athletes and the ballers that come out of Chicago, it's kind of like Virginia. It's like y'all come with a hard nose, get it done. Yo, he's the antithesis of that. McNabb is like, he's heartless.
Well,
like he has no heart.
He ain't got shy in him, man. He ain't got the shy in him.
He's not Chicago.
All right, well, let's go ahead.
Well, let me say this. Let me just start. Let me preface this real quick. First of all, he's from Dalton, Illinois, so I'm gonna get that out the way. That's south suburb.
He moved to
the suburbs of Chicago.
So
I'm gonna say
ways.
I'm gonna say ways from. But you know what? I will say this though. Part of the problem with Donovan McNabb is that, you know, his nice guy image has killed him. I mean, his not responding to some of the criticism, even Andy Reid later on his career. I mean, this guy should have stood up for himself. I mean, I'm just looking at his numbers. I mean, he threw for over 37,000 yards. So that's nothing to sneeze at overall his career. But I believe his skill set was a little shot. I mean, his skill set was shot. You know, his throwing ability, his physical conditioning. I don't know, and I agree with you. I don't know what he was doing with those Arizona tapes and all that workout. Because when it came to the season, like, how's this guy always getting hurt?
He was having a Sandusky party over there in Arizona, man.
Oh, man. Hold on, man. That's kind of raw right there.
He slandered him right there.
I know, man. That's kind of raw. But, I mean, I'll just say this. In regards to the race issue, man, I think he's suffering because of it. You know, usually the brothers, and I'll just say this outright, have that tough image. He just doesn't have it. And if he had that edge, that swagger to him, that's a little rough. Maybe he would have got a second shot, man. Whoa. The Bears bought a second shot, and he got a third shot.
You mean a fourth?
Well,
shot.
I'm just saying this: the Bears bought in a quarterback that was coaching high school football, who hadn't played over McNabb.
Yeah.
So that was kind of
other guy got a shot. He was doing lines before the game, and he was trying to get shot. So it's like I'm telling you,
he got benched for Rex Grossman. That's all that needed to be.
Yo,
that's pretty sad.
For 15 for 35 yards in a game as a star. He played the whole game that game too.
But you know what? I just think he just his soft image killed him. I think that was probably
Listen,
more
man,
than anything
he,
people just didn't
I,
want to
I
do.
I know that you're saying he's from the suburbs, man. But when I think of Chicago, I think of cats like Derrick Rose and D. Wade,
Inglewood,
you know,
City.
Like cats that you know play a certain way, like regardless of what sport it is. Like you guys just have a mentality, like you said, a hard edge mentality. And
Isaiah Thomas,
right
25
here,
points in the third quarter in the NBA Finals on a sprained ankle. Those kind of
yeah.
guys.
And well, yeah, I mean, I understand that. But he is from Dalton, Illinois, so that's a few miles. I want to get that out there real quick. But the other thing before I go, man, I just want to say, man, I'm glad y'all didn't take up the bet for the Sixers and the Bulls. Thank y'all very much. I was looking at that.
Congratulating us for being scary. We didn't want to lose no more money.
But, I mean, if we'd have known that y'all wouldn't have had D. Rose, I'd have took the bet. But who knew that was going to happen?
New York minute.
Yo, we didn't stand by the squad. We Donovan Duck, man.
Yeah, we did. We kind of
no
problem, man. Because y'all, yo, the food in the Chi-Town is no joke.
I know.
Yeah.
Talk about the food. I'll be out there in July for the taste, man. I'm gonna be all over that food. So we definitely
well,
gotta get
now.
Together. While we,
yeah,
while
we
I'm out
gonna
there.
Connect. We'll right. definitely connect when you get out here. But I just want to say, man, y'all
sure
doing a great
one.
Job. Love the show, man. Our fans know who you guys are. So that's a great thing.
Oh, yeah,
so.
And vice versa, man. Thank you for that, man.
Oh, yeah. You know our fans know because we had to post a picture when we lost that bet. They know all about y'all now. Post a picture, all that Philly cheesesteak grub that we sent. But, hey, everybody, make sure you check out Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk on Blog Talk Radio. Man, I was about to say Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but y'all on somewhere every day of the week, damn near now.
Yeah, like, yeah, we just kicking it out there, man. Hey, thanks for y'all for inspiring us as well, man. We take a lot
man.
What y'all do and use it, man. So big ups to y'all. Big ups to the city of Philadelphia. That's my second home, man. I was about to crush him, man, when they booed Noah when he got his ankle hurt. But I said that's Philly, you know
that's what they
would
do,
right?
Come on, man.
Yeah,
you
right.
know that.
Yo, man,
you know
give
that.
give Juana my regards, man.
Hey, man, I have to be careful, though. I can't really say much about that. I'm on air. You know what I'm saying? I'm married,
know.
Got a wife. I can't say too much about Juana, dog.
I didn't say anything wrong. I just said give her my regards.
Hey, you know, that could be a death sentence if I agree.
Hey, bro.
Right,
hey,
man.
I'm actually I just bought her book on Kindle, so I'm going to read her book. You know, we're about to go on vacation next week. I might have a little time on my hands. So, you know, let her know that I'm reading her book.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dev and Jimmy, two of us got the book. So we're going to be, you know, calling and questioning her about her book.
Well, let me just say this to y'all real quick
about
her
personal life.
Do you know how many emails I get on a daily basis asking about that woman? It's crazy.
I can imagine.
Hey, man, y'all
that's
take
what's
it easy,
up,
man.
I just,
big up
I
to y'all,
email about, I just email her on my own now.
All right, JT, man. Good luck,
right,
man. Shout out to you, man.
Hey, man, y'all take it easy, bro.
All right,
take it easy.
JT,
oh, man,
ranked top
funny.
Five. Y'all some crazy dudes, man. Yeah, I'm real, you know, looking forward to reading that book because, you know, if you look on her fan page, like, people be going there, like, she gave them so much inspiration. I'm like, man, let me see what this is about.
I don't know nothing about that, but what I do know is, man, them
Yeah, definitely get the man icing. Yo, but, what's the next story you want to talk about, bro?
Yeah, man, real quick.
Yo!
There's still no Drew Brees deal, but look, man, that's on them. They need to negotiate that and get that done. I guess they need to meet somewhere. That'll be the best PR that they would get during this whole season. So that's what they need to do. Let's go NBA real quick before Jimmy takes us into some playoff talk. Greg Oden, yes, Mr. Glass, he wants to be a part of the Miami Heat when he ultimately comes back. So what do you guys think about that?
Yo, you too young to be chip chasing.
I guess he feels... Man, he has no idea how long he would be able to last on the court. So let me team up with the super team and see if I can, you know, help them get a chip.
Stop.
This is my thing, though. The fact that it could possibly get done, and these dudes will get lucky enough that he stays healthy. Because when he's healthy, he's a pretty good center. Like, you know, people, we talk about him being Mr. Glass, but when he's out there, he's a very good rebounder. You know what I'm saying? He can score when needed. You know, on this team, he wouldn't need to score. He'd just be the cleanup man, catch a few alley-oops, get some rebounds. But think about how cheap he's going to be for them, you know, if he, you know,
yeah,
if he rehabs.
All I'm saying is he's better than Dexter Pittman. That's all I'm saying.
Man, they can get him on the cheap. He mess around and not get hurt again, become the center that he was supposed to be, and then there you go with the super team, lucking into some championships because everybody wants to play with them now. Everybody who's chip chasing wants to play with the Heat.
I'm going to give Pat Riley a little bit of credit on this because what they're doing is just like you say, they're getting talent on the cheap. I'll give you an example. Eddie Curry, they took a flyer on him. I don't think it necessarily worked out. I'll give him a pass. I don't think it was a bad or a good for them. It kind of just was what it was. But they're going to do that every season, kind of scour the earth for hidden gems that they can kind of sign on the cheap to help solidify that team.
You're using a lot of words that I don't agree with, one being talent, two being gems, because a lot of the people that they do get are kind of old and washed up. Like, when we see their names, we're like, damn, that's going to help these dudes get over the hump. But then they end up not doing nothing. I mean, look at that last playoff game they played. Besides Wade and LeBron, nobody else scored over 5 points in the game. That's why, without Chris Bosh, they're in some trouble. But, you know, we're about to get in that when Jimmy takes us into this playoff talk. But, you know, I think if Greg Oden goes there, I just have this thing in my mind where I think these dudes are going to get lucky. He's going to stop getting injured. And, you know, it's going to help them get to where they've been trying to get with the likes of Joel Anthony, Udonis Haslem, who need to cut that patch of whatever that is off the side of his face. And cats like Juwan Howard. And, like, why? I think the only person of any consequence that they've picked up in the last few years is probably Shane Battier. Because even what he doesn't give you offensively, Shane Battier is still a hell of a defender. So he gives you some value somewhere. But, you know, talent, gems, all that, I don't know. I don't know if I can.
That's why I kind of said it's like they're signing them on the cheap. So it's like if it doesn't work out and they're what we are seeing them to be, then they haven't tied up that much money in them. And it's only right. 1 year deal, so they can get rid of them and start all over again.
All right. Well, we're going to get right back to the Heat in about 2 minutes. David Stern, he wants to put an end to all this flopping in the league. And I can say, for one, I'm definitely with him. He says it's time to look at flopping in a more serious way because it's only designed to fool the referee. It's not a legitimate play in my judgment. I recognize if there's contact, you move a little bit, but some of this is acting. We should give out Oscars rather than MVP trophies. And I agree 100% with David Stern. It's not often that I agree 100% with David Stern. This flopping stuff has got to stop, man.
Yeah. And real quick, Corey said that also they got Mike Miller cheaper than they would have had to pay for him.
Yeah, he had a donut in the last game when they needed some help. Mike Miller, you know, he could definitely shoot. You know, you can't leave Mike Miller open.
Yeah, no doubt. So they got him a little bit cheaper. But anyway, back to the flopping issue. It is becoming a major issue. It's very distracting watching the games, and I just get so upset when I see guys that are like 6'8", 275, a muscle get hit by a point guard that's like 5'3", and they like fall. It's like, yeah, it was one thing to, like, try to draw a charge, but these dudes be, like, falling on the stands and screaming. Like, come on, man. Cut it out.
Like when Tyson Chandler, who's lighter than LeBron, said that pick, and LeBron flailed his body around like he was doing Gunnar Osando.
That was horrible.
Never mind.
And cats like Reggie Evans, who he just jumped to the ground like somebody shot him in his ankles when he barely was touched, and it's a lot of stuff going on like that makes the game unattractive. Like, you don't want to tune in to see dudes that's bigger and stronger than everybody out there acting like women. No offense to women. I love y'all. But that's just not what you want to see when you tune into a professional sports contest. And, you know, people try to defend it by saying, well, it's smart play. If you think there's a way you can get an advantage, then you have to get the advantage. Man up. That's all I got to say. Everybody talking about what the smart play is. Man up. Man
yeah.
up.
It was refreshing to hear Kobe's take on it. I don't take them. I don't take charges. And I feel it's something.
He tried last night. I'm going to be quiet, though. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, he did. He did try last night. You darn right. But as he's not a habitual fish out of water.
Well, he didn't say anything about. He didn't say that because of flopping, though. He said that because he don't want to get hurt. He said he watched Larry Bird and other cats like that. He watched their backs disintegrate because of how and Scottie Pippen because of how many charges they took. He was like, Mike didn't take them. he didn't really put his body because, he had his Robin. He had Scottie Pippen to do all that dirty work for him.
Yeah, Larry Bird's back was, like, terrible just playing defense the right way.
Yo, Larry Bird broke his back. It was spinal.
But I think Kobe, the one he did try to take a charge last night after saying that to a reporter, but I think it was almost like what he said in that interview. Like, the one that I tried to take recently was by mistake because I just couldn't get out of the way. And I think it was kind of too late. See, I know how fast some Oklahoma City dudes be bearing down on
man,
you.
Man,
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You broke
my back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
I took a charge during training.
My
charge.
Man Mike said I broke my back.
All right, but
was it a vertebrae? Was it what vertebrae? It was spinal.
So we just want to send a quick congratulations out to Kyrie Irving for winning Rookie of the Year. Congrats to Larry Bird for winning the Executive of the Year, which makes him the first person. The dude just flopped right when we said this. Are y'all watching?
Yeah, I know. But Larry Bird has won like MVP. He's won Coach of the Year, Executive of the Year.
Did they call that?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. We just talked about this, man. He didn't get touched. Yeah. Anyway, like Jimmy said, he's the first dude to win all three of those awards, MVP, Executive of the Year, and Coach of the Year. So he's had a pretty good career. And I got a little versus for y'all with Larry Bird, but we're going to do that on another show when we have time. And it's a career versus. It's not just a player versus player. And congrats to LeBron James for winning his third MVP in four seasons. So he got his third MVP. Let's see if he can add a championship trophy to that. But if y'all want to check us out on our website, you can do so at warroomsports.com. And if you want to call in and speak with us today about any of our topics, you can dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotlines at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phones, press 1 if you want to talk. What's up with them NBA playoffs, Jim?
Yeah, man, let's just jump right into our NBA rap. Before we do, I want you to know that the NBA rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. And if you do have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you need to seriously think about getting an upgrade. At any rate, the latest episode is always available for you. No thinking needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website or go to stitcher.com/thewarroom. And make sure to use the coupon code thewarroom. And the reason you want to do that is you'll be entered into a sweepstakes to win thousands of dollars. At any rate, let's jump right into Indiana and Miami. As Utah hoops. Chris Bosh strained an abdominal. I mean, I hope she's okay. But with that being said, how do you think Bosh straining an abdominal will affect the series?
Man, I was about to say, I actually think it's big, because y'all have always heard me say that in that big three, Chris Bosh is kind of like the X factor. You kind of know what LeBron's going to bring. You know what Dwayne Wade's going to bring, at least late in the game. Chris Bosh was the one that kind of, put them over the top and made them that much better of a team. once he's gone, you just have the two perimeter players who basically do the same thing, and it makes the team a little easier to guard because there's no low post threat. So now you can focus all of your attention on LeBron and Wade, and I don't know, man. I really think they need that. Now, can they beat Indiana? It's still possible that they can compete and beat Indiana in this series without Chris Bosh, but if he has to miss any time moving forward, when they're playing like a Celtics, maybe with the way Kevin Garnett is playing, or you know a team like the Spurs, OKC, or the Lakers, those teams are going to be too big for them to beat without a healthy Chris Bosh.
I think Dan, go screen that real quick. Austin, what are your thoughts on Bosh's absence?
That's the same one.
It's big. It's big because he creates almost as big a mismatch as LeBron does at his position. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you match LeBron up with a two or three, there's a clear and decisive mismatch. Well, Bosh, you know, when you match him up with most fours, there's a similar mismatch, and his skill level is so high. That could be big for them. That could be real big for them, especially with the combined scoring of everybody else on the Heat roster being like 5 points a game.
The combined.
That could be a problem.
Because if
Wade goes for 40 and LeBron goes for 40, that means the whole team is only going to score 85. That ain't going to get it done.
Oh, okay.
Basically, somebody got to step their game up in his absence. It's definitely going to affect him because, like you said, he is the X factor. Bosh has major game and his mid range game is amazing. But you know, with that being said, this like those two, they're so top heavy with those two. They possibly still could get by Indiana, but who knows? I mean, Indiana is not afraid of them and will play them tough. So they definitely will miss Bosh. I mean,
I definitely think they'll get by Indiana with or without Bosh. Yeah. But I think the issue is going to be some of these other quality teams where they're maybe strong at that power forward position.
Yeah. Anyway, man, let's go to the phone lines real quick. We have Austin's favorite person on the line. Let's see what's going on here.
Hello. Ronald. I just wanted to thank you guys for buying my book on Kindle.
Oh, no doubt.
Rana! What's up, baby? See, I knew you were going to come on. I just
you
had
guys
that
have
feel.
Some sexy voices, man. I'm just like,
Come on,
don't do that, Juana.
That sounds good.
Juana, don't do that.
Don't
do that, Juana.
Oh, you guys are seducing me.
I mean, you know, it goes beyond
the voices.
I'm like,
they must be
the
hot.
You know,
I'm going to go post photos on her Facebook page for y'all. I'm going to just go post photos.
No problem.
Oh, please do.
We get busy. I mean, we're going to definitely read your book. Me and Dev, going away this next week on business and whatnot. So we got our Kindles ready to read your book. So we're going to come back and question you to death.
Please do. We
do business in the islands.
I'm not going to stay on it and too long, but I just wanted to say that last night I was watching the game, and I knew OKC was going to win, okay, because I think they have more talent to win. But, you know, Kobe can make sure, you know, he wants to win, you know, when it's a close game. I just figured that they gave Kobe too much room to, like, you know, come through with the win.
Yeah.
So I was sitting here betting somebody, and I lost the bet because I – punked out at the end, and OKC came back and won anyway. Man, that was a good game.
It's similar to us. We didn't take JT's bet about, you know, the Sixers and the Bulls because, you know, we didn't know that Rose and Noah were going to get hurt. So, you know, we kind of punked out, too. We could have been eating some deep dish pizza last week. But,
you know.
Yeah, you could have been.
You live and you learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for support, Juana. And, you know, like I said, we'll support you as well.
Well, thank you guys so much. And I'll be looking for my pictures and ask me any questions about the book.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
All right, dude.
Yes, sir.
You better stop, Juana. You better stop.
What were we talking
about? Cut it on out.
son, you're going to get us in trouble. You better stop. Stop it.
Yo, I forgot. Yo, I ain't going to lie, yo. I forgot what we were talking about. Yo.
There's a god somewhere.
Hot out.
Turn around for me, let us one more time. Yeah, so we're back. We're on that Indiana Miami series, and Bosh being gone. I mean, but we've
really
exhausted all
Cha-tonk
that.
It.
We know how that's going to go, or at least we know how we all feel about it. But Jimmy, you know what we really want to talk about?
About LeBron and his fourth quarter. Well, before I even talk about LeBron and his fourth quarter, I have something to say to LeBron. Bottom line is, you just got to do better, man. That's all I'm going to say. A three-time most valuable player, and, you know, I'm not one of these guys to sit here and say, well, he's a bum because of what happens in the fourth quarter, because at the end of the day, when you watch these games, like, yo, LeBron literally, for the first three and a half quarters, LeBron looks like he's playing against little boys. Like,
he's amazing.
He's dominant.
He's
amazing.
Amazing.
He's probably one of the best five players I've ever seen within that time frame. But then, like, yo, his foul shooting bothered me even more so than him playing.
Actually, you know what? I heard somebody say today that the way he kind of removes himself from situations in the last 2 minutes of the game, they say they think that it's all about his foul shooting. They're thinking that he doesn't want the ball in his hands because he doesn't want to get fouled and have to go to the line and make big free throws. I never even thought of that. That part before.
Yeah, but it's like, but at the beginning of the game, his foul shots is water. Like,
no,
LeBron shoots
never,
about what, 78%, 80%.
That is one of the weaker parts of his game. If his game,
listen, I'm
talking,
but if you look at it, it's all in the fourth quarter. The first three quarters, he's like an 80% shooter. Then the fourth, he's like a 30% shooter. Bring his whole average down, man.
No, they say that. They did say that within the last 2 minutes of. I think the last, I want to call it the last 20 games or last 15 games, he's 10 for 17 or 10 for 18.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're shooting foul shots that late, then usually the games are close, unless a team's fouling you trying to catch up, you know. So
basically, we're going to start having Hack-a-Bron in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, but that whole game two fiasco. I mean, I've listened to the excuses ever since it happened. I listened to the excuses. You know, a couple of ESPN guys took to Twitter all night after the game in LeBron's defense, and then a few guys that we speak to on our Facebook page, just excuse after excuse and statistic after statistic. Like, I already told everybody, look, that whole men lie, women lie, numbers don't, all that, that doesn't fly with me. Like, I watch games, and I watch games in a very analytical way. So you can't just come to me spouting off numbers and statistics and all of that, because at the end of the day, you got to watch the games and see what's happening. All numbers have context. And when you're throwing out a bunch of numbers that, you know, that are basically meaningless to this whole situation, I'm not really trying to hear that.
Yeah,
because,
like,
you know, a lot of people, you know, when they defending LeBron, of course that means you have to slander Kobe. LeBron has a better shooting percentage than Kobe in the last 2 minutes of a game, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. You know why? The reason that that's so is because Kobe, you know, he's taking the shot, so he isn't afraid to put that on himself. So it's like, okay, he's either going to save the day like he has on plenty of occasions, or he's going to miss. But at least he's not afraid to do it. And the more you take,
well,
the more you miss. People keep telling me about the law of averages. So, of course, if he's going to keep shooting, of course his shot percentage is going to go down. But don't be afraid.
I think that most human beings can't relate to the monster, because Kobe's definitely junior. I mean, he's Michael Jeffrey Jordan Jr., and they both share that ice-cold killer in the waning moments of games, where they want that pressure. The pressure, the things that make normal human beings nervous, and, you know, performing mundane, ordinary tasks that they do repeatedly become a challenge because of that pressure, they like that. And I think most fans can't relate to that. And in the case of Kobe Bryant, he's already such a polarizing figure, is that, you know, that same killer is kind of a turnoff. And LeBron, most of those folks, they relate to him dominating. You know, they give them joy for 46 minutes to see him dominate, which is amazing. Those amazing performances, but that last portion of the game where the nerves come out, they can kind of relate to that because that's how they are. They're nervous when pressure's around.
It's something to be said about that. First off, I just get upset with the fact that when people take up for, like, LeBron, they just got to slander Kobe. Like, what does Kobe got to do with anything? We're talking about.
I wonder why they always have to come up in the same sense.
Yeah, like, we're talking about what LBJ does. And LBJ, like I was telling, we were talking the other day, I said the first 3.5 quarters, he's like a combination of, like, Magic and Michael. And then, like, the end of the fourth quarter, he turns into, like, Richard Dumas. It's crazy because of just of how dominant he is, and like you said, people can relate.
Ho! I'm a little offended because Richard Dumas was nice. I don't know how clunky he was, but Richard Dumas was able to be fairly successful in the NBA with a mean krill habit.
Once the krill started, he fell off.
Here's what I want to tell people, like. If you had a woman that you cared about, right, she was a thorough woman, but when times got hard, like, you know, she wasn't there for you, you wouldn't want to be with her no matter how good she is, man. So it's like, when they're blowing people out, LeBron is, he's phenomenal.
Runner.
When it gets clutched, when times get hard, man, the word's the new addition, man, he can't stay in the rain, man.
Yo, that game two at the end of that game, the possession before the last possession, that dude was playing hot potato with the ball. Like, he came to his hands. He's like, I don't want it. He threw it to Shane Battier in the corner. Battier threw it back. He couldn't wait to get it out to Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade goes and missed the layup.
He was acting mad Trez Vanny. He can't stay in the rain, man. That's all it boils down to, man. So, LeBron is like that good woman, but, you know, when times get hard, she ain't going to hold you down. That's LeBron, man.
I'm LeBron James, widely recognized as the greatest player on planet Earth. And, you know, I'm 6'9". 260, 265, whatever he is, there's no damn way, because they're saying, Spo is saying, and Chalmers is confirming that last play was drawn up for Chalmers. There's no way in hell I'm going to stand there with three MVP trophies in my backpack and allow this play to be drawn up for Chalmers.
Yo,
like you said, Jimmy, for 46 minutes, this dude can get to the basket at will whenever he wants to. It's mental, man. I've always told y'all, it's mental, man.
All
people
I
say he
all
choked.
I say about this, all I say about this Joker, man, is on a perfect day, LeBron can't stay in the rain, y'all. Yo, and it's sad to see that, man, because dude actually has the ability to be, and he is probably, even with that being said, he's one of the best players ever, man. Like, that one part of the game, it gets like irritating because I hate talking about it. Like,
let me ask.
But some
y'all,
people try to act like
y'all.
It doesn't exist, and they want to throw you out all these numbers. It exists.
Let me ask y'all this, and you both know me and know me very well. Do I hold clutch play too high in my measurement of athlete?
Yeah, you do.
I make
you
it
do.
Too important.
Yeah, you really do. Yo, Austin's top five basketball players is like Sam Cassell, Robert Horry, a bunch of guys that make big shots.
They all clutch.
Austin rates players based upon their clutch value.
I don't know, man.
Well,
like,
Mike Jordan's at the top of that list. Kobe Bryant's on that list.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's my thing. If you're LeBron James, man, just take the mic approach. Just go to the hole. If anybody breathes on you, they're going to call a foul. Get phony fouls like Mike used to do.
But, Jim. Like I said, if this person that I listen to, if this theory,
Mike can make the foul shot. You're right.
Yeah, if their theory was right, that might be the reason that he's not doing it because he don't want to be in the
foul. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. Mike made the foul shot, though.
And the difference between Mike and LeBron, and I'll give LeBron this. LeBron is 6'9" and 278. Yo, if he goes
over
5 pounds, 20 pounds,
he can five more pounds every time.
Some of those foul calls that Mike used to get that were venom. Yo, you cannot not foul LeBron. He's too big.
Yeah.
So he's
like
you have to give him contact if he comes to the hole.
Like 6'8", 283. How could you not foul him when he's coming to the hole like that? You know what I mean?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you know, he going to the hole and he, you know, 6'10", 290. I mean, what? Like, that's how
you gotta
it is.
Foul him. You gotta yeah. foul him. You're not gonna be able to stop 6'11" and 295. It's not possible.
Man, anyway, man. Let's talk about the Clippers and Spurs. Let's
yeah,
talk
let's
about
make this
how
one real quick,
Tim Duncan
ain't
got in his hot tub time machine and decided that he was going to abuse young Blake Griffin.
Yo, who is the guy that wears number 21 for the Spurs? Who is he?
You know, Jim?
We got a comment to you specifically in our chat room. It says, LeBron is like Thomas Hearns when he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. Like, Hearns was built for 14 rounds, but then Sugar knocked him out. You know. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, just tuned in. Austin said that Sugar Ray Leonard was overrated, so y'all can send him all your hate mail.
Besides that, can y'all imagine how many people out there just listening are fuming because, you know, we're not talking positive about LeBron? We're not talking negative about him. We're just telling you what's going on. You see it. That's why people feel the need to jump and defend him every day. If it wasn't true, then you just leave it alone.
True.
Yo, Bomani Jones took to Twitter, like, questioning people's life talents because they were on there talking about LeBron in the fourth quarter. Like, he was saying, like, how can you people sit here and critique a man for something that he does great when y'all don't do anything great? Then he started going to individual people on Twitter saying such and such, what do you do great? Like, regular fans. Like, I actually tweeted him back like, yo, you're taking this real personal. Huh? Like,
yo, let me find out that Bomani Jones is LeBron's squire.
His context to that, because he was responding, because some of the stuff that people were sending him, you know how Twitter can be a hate fest. So, you know, basically, he was
like, what do you do great?
He was
I'm
going
like,
to say next because they was basically disrespecting him, man.
Yeah. They weren't.
Yo, that's funny.
Him.
What do you do great?
As my man Peanut Live said, you can't take him personal, though, dog. You can't take him personal.
Yeah, but
KP,
real quickly on
you can't
Tim
be
Duncan
taking
him
personal.
Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett being in the hot tub time machine.
Yo.
Y'all like how I did both series at one time since we're running out of time.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
Like,
I like how you
did
that.
The dude, I think he's taking it personal because it's Blake Griffin. And the more I watch Blake Griffin, the more that I realize he's not as good as I thought he was originally. I'm not saying he's not good because there's a lot of people taking it a little too far now, acting like he's a bum. But he's not what the hype may tell you he is. But you know, if you dunk a lot,
Chris Paul's high. Chris Paul's high skill level has made his game regress.
But you know what? I think Duncan takes that personally because Duncan mm-hmm. is more made in that Kevin Love cloth, the non-athletic dude who just get off because of his skills. So I think he's doing it for all the, you know, the Duncan, Kevin
yeah,
Love.
Yeah,
he had
a little flashback. He looked, he was in the forest.
Yeah, and then KG wouldn't miss.
This is just my personal opinion, not the opinion of Warren, but, yo, Blake Griffin is irritating. This is a guy who I said was the mulatto intercontinental champion behind Darren Williams, and now he still may hold that title. But with that being said, because dude walks around like he won 4 or 5 chips already. His whole, like, I don't know what he used to be swagger, because that's the dumbest word in the dictionary, and it's not even in the dictionary.
It is now.
But,
it wasn't when it
yeah,
first was
Yeah, it is
used.
Now, but that's the dumbest word. But his demeanor, his aura, he just acts like, this dude acts like he's won 5 chips, and that bothers me. He doesn't have any humility. Like, yo, you have no humility, yeah. Yo. Like, that just
and
bothers
he,
me, man.
And
you
he
have
flopped.
No... Yeah, and you flop. Yeah, you jump out the building, you're strong as an ox, but you're flopping around? Cut it
and
out.
And he can't defend.
Come on,
or
man.
He won't defend.
But, yo, I need to hear no of that, man. Now, let's talk about the other series, though. What were you talking about?
And his
about
mama. Never mind. Go ahead.
Whoa there. Let's talk about KG, man. KG, even before the Sixers series, at the end of the last series, like, once KG got offended by Atlanta's owner, who says the dirtiest player in the league, KG took offense to that and, like, you know, went back in his Minnesota bag and has been killing cats.
Can you imagine this, Jim? Can you imagine this? think about it. Duncan and Kevin Garnett have been the premier power forwards of this era. You know, their whole time is winding down now. Can you imagine those two dudes finally getting to a finals against each other? That would be kind of nice to see, especially because they're both playing like they, you know, like it's
kids. Oh, man.
That would be pretty nice.
Man.
I mean,
him
the NBA wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't mind Boston.
You imagine, what's worse than that is imagine the Pacers get past Miami. Imagine a Pacers-Spurs series. How mad would David Stern be?
Yo, even before the finals, imagine if it was Sixers-Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then the Pacers go on to play the Spurs in the finals, and like four people watch the NBA Finals. Lowest rating ever. David Stern, he'd probably quit because, you know, he was hitting
the
ball, wrapping up his tenure.
I think it was with Detroit. Detroit played San Antonio in the final, I think it was.
Nobody watched the Cleveland-San Antonio series either because, you know, back then LeBron was pretty young and he wasn't what he is now. So, I mean, but even the people who were watching probably were watching to see what the kid would do. Nobody watches when the Spurs get to the championship.
It's
messed up.
Nobody likes fundamentals.
Yeah, nobody likes good basketball.
Who cares about good basketball?
We want to see Lob City. Lob City, baby.
Yeah, I see. But, I mean, it is what it is. But right now, those two guys are playing at another level, man. And it's good to see because they are like the Barkley and Karl Malone of this era. Like, they are the premier power forwards in basketball. So, shout out to them for still producing at a high level.
Do y'all think Boston sent a big enough message in Game 3 to basically finish the Sixers? Or do you think the young boys got some more fight in them?
They got a little bit more fight in them. They just don't have much more game in them.
So what you're saying is they may fight, but it may be off or not.
It's sort of like the Sixers woke them up. It's like Boston was like, thought they were going to show up and just win the series, and the Sixers sucker punched them.
And ran. Because the Sixers should have taken a 2-0 lead. They should have taken a 2-0 lead in that series.
That would have changed everything.
I think the fact that they realized they stole the first game on their own home court and then actually lost the second game, you're right. I think that woke them up. So they might slap the Sixers around from here on out. But, of course, you know, we hope not. With us being, Philly, from Philly and Sixers fans, we hope that doesn't happen. But we keep it real here. we're realists about this. We're not extra homers where we're just saying, oh, no, we're going to beat the Celtics because that's kind
no
of a
doubt.
Heavy task.
You ain't lying, man. That dude
Celtics
Avery
might
Bradley,
also see that the road might be getting a little clearer, too.
That cat Avery Bradley got the best off-the-ball game in the league. Like, dude's cussing everything is amazing.
Yeah, and on the defensive end, he locks up.
Where they find him at? Where they get him from?
He locks up.
Where'd he come from?
Brain fart. I know where to do.
Speaking of Avery Bradley,
season,
shout out to Money Making Mitch.
Yeah, he wasn't getting much clock in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I know when Rapallo went down, he started getting.
Speaking of that, before we get off, speaking of clock, I know the rotation gets shorter in the playoffs, but why is my man Vucevic not getting any burn for the Sixers? What's up with that? He had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
And Avery Bradley was a
He got drafted.
He was a 19th overall pick from Texas back in 2010.
He definitely got drafted by him. But the thing is, they put him in the D League, and they brought him back up. So that's where it is. And shout out to Corey because he got the info right there.
Probably D'd up everybody in the D League. And got him. All right, Jim, let's.
Let's land this
puppy. Get out of here.
Yes, sir. Thanks for hanging with us in the War Room, sports fans. Shout out to everyone who chimed in, people in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, those who called in and talked to us directly. We also want to give another shout out to all of our new listeners tuning in on the New Vibe Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to hear us discuss another wild week in this thing that we call sports. But for now, just enjoy your weekend, enjoy basketball, and you can find us at warroomsports.com. We are all over the internet.
Have a good weekend.
Smoke all the like smoking Joe Frazier, but Hellraiser. project. Then take all your assets, cause I came to shake the frame in half with the thoughts that bomb shit like math. So if you wanna try to flip, go flip on the next man, cause I'll grab the clip and pitch it with 16 shots and more I got. Going to war with the melting pot.
It's the Method Man for short, Mr. Map. Move it on your left. And set it off, get it off, let it off like a cat. I wanna break food, cop me back. Small change, they putting shame in the game. I take game and blow that nigga out the frame. And like fame, my style will live forever. Niggas crossing over like they don't know no better. But I do, true, can I get a soul? Enough respect due to the 162. I mean, oh, yo, check out the flow like the Hudson or PCP. When I'm dusting, niggas off because I'm hot like sauce. The smoke from the lyrical blunt make me
Ooh, grab my nut, get through. Here comes my sound, let's down. True, B-H, but B-Y-U. To my crew with the
Come on, baby, baby, come on. Baby, come on, baby, baby, come on.
I'll be sticking pins in your head like a nurse. I'll attack any nigga who's slacking his mat. Come fully packed with the fat rugged stack. Same on you when you step through. Two, the old dirty bastard straight from the Brooklyn Zoo. And I'll be damned if I let any man come to my center. You enter the winter straight up and down. That shit at cam, you can't slam. Don't let me get cool on the man. The old dirty bastard is dirty and stinking. Ace on your neck rolling with the knife of the creep. Niggas be rolling with a stab. Ain't saying gas, bite my style. I'm
Cry out loud, my style is wild, so book me. Not long, it's how long that this rhyme took me. Ejecting styles from my lethal weapon. My pen that rocks from here to Oregon. Here's Morgan, catch it like a psycho flashback. I love gas, rap with a gun, you wouldn't bust back. I come with shit, all types of shapes and sounds. And wherever I lounge is my stomping grounds. I give an order to my peeps to cross the water. To go and snatch up props all around the border. And get far like a shooting star. Pursue our all, just live on the life of Pablo Escobar. Point blank as I kick the square bitch. There it is, the fuck is frozen, it goes.
Yo, chill with the feedback, black, we don't need that. It's 10 o'clock, ho, where the fuck to see that? Feeling mad hostile, wearing out apostle. Throwing like Christ when I speak the gospel. Soul with the holy bowl, then attack the globe with the buckets. Style the ruckus, 10 times 10 men committing mad sin. Turn the other cheek and I'll break your fucking chin. Slain boom bangs like African drums.
LB.
Coming around the mountain when I come. Crazy flamboyant for the rap enjoyment. My planet creeps like black unemployment. Yeah, another one there. Took a genius, take us the fuck out of here.
The woo is too slamming for these coke killer labels. The rain had hit since I've seen Aunt Mabel. Be doing all the sin like Kane did Abel. Now they money's getting stuck to the gum under the table. That's what you get when you misuse what I invent. Your empire falls and you lose every cent for trying to blow up a scrub. Now that sword is just as bright as a 20 watt light bulb. Should've pumped it when I rocked it. Niggas so stingy they got short arms and deep pockets. Disco going in some companies with majors to scare to death the punk needs. First of all, who's your A&R? A mountain climber who plays an electric guitar. But he don't know the meaning of dope when he's looking for a super tie rap that's cleaner than a bar soap. And I'm the dirtiest thing in sight. Matter of fact, bring out the girls and let's have a mud fight.
The best protect your neck. The best protect your neck. The best protect your neck. The best protect your neck.
War Room Sports. www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.